All right, we're in C++ world again, building 41. Who are you? What's going on?
My name is Arjun Bajaki. I'm a test lead on the C++ compiler front-end team.
Okay.
The front-end of the compiler is basically the parser.
All right.
So I've been on this team about 6.5 years now, the same team the whole time. I guess you could say I really like the technology and dev tools in general.
Cool. Did you come out of college?
Yep. I was a college hire out of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana.
Nice. It's a good school.
Yeah.
Good CS program there.
I was actually in electrical engineering, but I took a bunch of CS classes. So
why did you come into the CS world from electrical engineering? Why didn't you...
I sort of noticed that as time went on, the things that I were more interested in was the CS aspect of things. And, of course, electrical engineers study a lot of programming techniques and algorithms and things, data structures.
Nice.
So... yeah, as of late, we've been focusing the whole team on IntelliSense in the IDE, IntelliSense Browsing and Navigation. There's been some blog posts on the VC blog about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of the most consistent types of feedback that I've seen from a lot of the videos that we've done on Channel 9 from the C++ people are, when the hell are you guys going to get IntelliSense right? Now, it's easy to say that because with C#, it's a hell of a lot easier. You have that nice, organized base class library. It's a hell of a lot easier to write a quick, fast, performant IntelliSense in a managed language like that than in an unmanaged language like C++ with libs and headers and all that stuff. So let's talk about what you guys are doing. Let's first talk about how does it work. What is your IntelliSense system?
So we have... there's two major parts to it. That is the IntelliSense angle of things, which has a separate IntelliSense parser.
Uh-huh.
And there's the browsing and navigation angle of things, and that has, again, a separate parser intending to specialize in those kind of things necessary for browsing and navigation, like finding all references to a certain identifier and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we've used the same tool called FEACP, the same IntelliSense parser for everything. It was kind of a jack of all trades, and it has some fairly major shortcomings that we're attempting to address in the upcoming product.
Uh-huh. Upcoming meaning what?
Meaning the next release of Visual Studio.
All right, so VS10 is what I think we're codenaming it.
VS10 or Dev10 or something, yeah.
Now, hadn't you guys made some changes in 2008 so that your IntelliSense was better than 2005?
Yeah, one of our architects, Jim Springfield, went through and did a whole ton of work to attempt to get the old IntelliSense parser and machinery to be more performant.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was to address kind of wide-ranging scalability and performance issues with IntelliSense and the IDE. But for VS10, we are planning on revamping everything there. With the idea of looking forward in the future, we'll have the features available to better support things like maybe refactoring or squiggles or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the whole team is kind of laying the groundwork, the foundations for that.
Cool. So I think let's talk a little bit about do you find that amongst the C++ crowd, a lot of people are still not using Visual Studio, that use Visual C++, but for the people that do you think they really care that much about IntelliSense? Because it has to be fast, right?
Right. IntelliSense has got to be fast, and it can't prevent you from doing your job. For instance, it would be completely unacceptable if you're typing along and suddenly your keystrokes aren't reflected on the screen because IntelliSense is doing a parse in the background. And this actually happens today in some cases, and it's, that's one of the major things we're trying to fix with this upcoming release. It should be in the background. You shouldn't even know it's happening, but you should just have your information right there.
Excellent.
And so my team specifically is working on new ways of testing, testing IntelliSense browsing and navigation, to make sure that we can, not just advance the product technology, but the testing technology behind it.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, I'm sure you have a lot of fun trying to mess with the performance enhancements that the architect Springfield has implemented. Let's talk a little about a giant header file, with like thousands of classes in it and thousands of methods, and they have to somehow parse through that really quickly. Let's talk a little bit about what you do. How do you test IntelliSense? How's that for a question that's normal?
Yeah, no, that's a pretty broad question, but
yeah,
I can start addressing that. Should we go up to the whiteboard?
Whiteboard, good. Always whiteboard. Hey, so today we have a special guest joining us. There he is. Who are you?
Hi. Dan Fernandez.
Right on. You're a new Channel 9 guy.
I am a new Channel 9 guy.
This is the first interview you've ever been at.
I know.
Right on.
I'm riding shotgun.
Excellent. Okay. Uh-huh.
So I'm just throwing some code up here. Okay, it's it doesn't really do anything, but this kind of highlights some of the IntelliSense features that we are trying to test.
Okay.
First one would be QuickInfo, and as people, most of the viewers will probably know, QuickInfo is the tooltip you get when you hover over an identifier in a program. Hmm. So if you hover over X, you might see a little tooltip, class X.
Okay.
And so in the past, what we've done to test IntelliSense, the old way of doing things was we would write out this code. We would go through it, and we would delineate all the sites you could possibly do quick info at, hard-coded in the program itself, mm-hmm. you know, with some sort of annotations. And we would go through and come up with a baseline result for all of that and hand-verify everything. And that, you know, that's a time-consuming process. It results in us having to annotate these source files, results in us having to essentially write tests twice. If we implement, you know, a new template feature, we have to write a test once for the compiler, again for IntelliSense, and then annotate it.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we're looking at doing to test this better is to have an automatic tool. And the way that works is the compiler is going to generate IL. And this IL is basically an AST, an abstract syntax tree,
okay.
Representing the program in kind of an abstract format. From the IL, you can essentially query for constructs such as, you know, what class did I define here? Where did the class begin? Where did the class keyword end and the identifier begin? What kind of functions were in the class? What kind of data members? In the function main, where am I using this class, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so going from this IL in the compiler, we can take this source code, compile it, produce the IL, and then from that generate this list of sites that we had to annotate previously.
Hmm.
And so doing this allows us to have the same test file for both the compiler and for the IntelliSense parsers. But it gets cooler than that. In my opinion, anyway, because not only can we find out from the compiler where the interesting sites to test QuickInfo are,
mm-hmm.
we can also find out what the result of the QuickInfo operation could be. Because the compiler is the oracle. The compiler understands everything about the program. Absolutely everything. All the symbols are resolved. Mm-hmm. All the functions are known, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So we can query this IL and find not just that we have a site here that we can hover over to produce quick info, but we can find the result of the quick info operation. And so when we take the separate IntelliSense parser and parse this code from the IDE to provide IntelliSense, our tests in the background can use the actual compiler to find out what these symbols should be and what the results of quick info will be.
Excellent.
And the same is true of, for instance, autocomplete, which is, you know, the kind of drop-down box that you get when you hit a dot or an arrow or a colon.
Mm-hmm.
We can also find the sites for this, these two right here, and we can find out what the results that should be.
Hmm.
And so we expect that this is going to greatly make our testing much more efficient. In terms of not having to write the same test cases, not having to annotate this code, etc.
Mm-hmm. For testing specifically IntelliSense.
Yeah, for testing IntelliSense.
Outstanding. So let's step a little bit back, though, because I'm still a little unclear on exactly how the current implementation of IntelliSense in Visual Studio 2008 works for C++. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We have a tool called FEACP.
Mm-hmm.
I've
heard that already.
That's a DLL. Cool. It's kind of it's almost a four-letter word in many circles in this team. But FEACP is it's essentially a separate build of the compiler. It's not the same as the compiler, but it has a bunch of different different functionality commented out, different functionality coded back in. It's kind of a Frankenstein build of the compiler.
Okay.
And it's got a fairly lengthy history that I'm not very much aware of. But today, in Visual Studio 2008, FEACP is the IntelliSense parser.
Okay.
And that runs in the background whenever you load up a project or solution with C++ files. That generates a database called the NCB.
Hmm.
And people viewing this are probably cringing right now. Because the NCB is famous for getting really, really big and causing problems, and people have to delete it all the time and whatnot.
Hmm.
But FEACP produced the NCB and also serviced IntelliSense requests from the IDE. So if the user hovered over something, hovered over an identifier, or went to try to browse class view or something, FEACP and the NCB would be producing that information.
Okay.
In the new way of doing things, which will happen in VS10, we're going to have what's called the fragment parser, which is an IntelliSense parser kind of like FEACP.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have the tag parser. The tag parser is a much more fast parser, a quick parser intended to get very specific information out of the source code, but not be a full compiler.
Excellent.
And it's actually interesting the way that we've started testing the tag parser, too. Mm-hmm. What I described on the board was primarily what we're doing to test the fragment parser. But the tag parser is also interesting in that that's a completely separate parser again, that we can also use the actual compiler to test.
Hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's talk a little bit about performance, though. I mean, it's. I think a lot of people take IntelliSense for granted with how fast all the members will be displayed or the tooltips or whatever. I mean, it can get very complicated really quickly, so... since you used the term fragment, I'm wondering, with the giant header files that exist, let's take Windows.h as a canonical example of a rather large file with a lot of information for you guys to parse for IntelliSense reasons. So what kind of strategies are there to be able to zip through this file?
Well,
to find the information and go, you know what I mean? It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. When we... If you look at the size of a preprocessed Windows.h, like if you have a source file that pound include Windows.h and preprocessed that, it's going to be 6 to 8 megs in size. So that's a lot of source code you're pulling in there, and it's pulled in by pretty much every program.
Yeah.
Every Windows program, anyway. So yeah, there is a lot of code there. One of the things that the tag parser does is it deals with files not as full translation units, with all the include files and everything, but as actual just files in and of themselves. It doesn't go into pound include files. It just looked at the file that you actually have, literally in that buffer on disk. And so one of the corollaries is that it doesn't know about macros that Windows.h might define. And so sometimes you'll have to give that parser hints. But the upshot is it doesn't have to parse that 6 to 8 megs of code, so...
Nice.
It ends up being a lot faster.
Very cool. So what about in 2008? And I've probably already asked this, but I sometimes, it's the new year. What are some of the new things that developers should be excited about re-IntelliSense versus 2005, right? Has it gotten better? How's that for a question?
IntelliSense in VS 2008?
Yeah.
So with the performance work that Jim did,
fair enough,
should make it a heck of a lot faster in a lot of cases.
Okay.
We actually released that, I believe, as a patch to VS 2005 as well, so you can get a lot of the goodness there in VS 2005.
Okay.
Apart from that, there's nothing real much in IntelliSense VS 2008. The big change is going to be in the next release.
Understood.
In VS 10.
Because you have to re-architect it from the ground up.
Yeah, it's a big deal. We are really taking this seriously.
Good.
It's for years people have complained about this stuff, and I think we have there's a blog post out there, with hundreds and hundreds of comments about this on it. So people have spoken, and they are heard.
Listening. Absolutely. You do that a lot. I mean, people were speaking not too long ago about where the hell is MFC. Are you guys going to kill it? And here we go. Absolutely not.
Here we go with the new stuff. The beta just ready for download a couple days ago, I think.
Totally. So you test primarily IntelliSense all day. Not all day, but that's your main responsibility.
That's the major focus of what we're working on now. We also, my team also tests the compiler parser itself.
Wow.
So I'd expect in the next release, VS10, I'd expect to have some features from C++ OX, mm-hmm. which is the next revision of the C++ standard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we've exactly lined out which of those features we're going to do, but we definitely intend to do some of that.
So one question I would ask is, there's always been, I remember when I first started playing around with managed code, the first thing I tried out was VB.net. And I thought it was interesting that stuff was getting compiled when I hit the return key, right? And C#, when I moved to C#, playing on C#, it wasn't doing that. So there's no background compilation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, will we ever see background compilation in C++? How's that for a hard one? That would be fun to test, huh? Kind of difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be a real challenge. We don't have any plans as of yet to do background compilation, though. You know,
theoretically, right? If you have enough RAM and enough, maybe performance, let's talk about why. So we're kidding here, we're joking, but let's talk about why one language on the Microsoft stack, like VB.net, can do it, and another language is very, very different, which is why, can't or doesn't do it.
Right. I mean, so theoretically, this could be done for C++. I mean, mm-hmm. you could argue that, we have all these IntelliSense parsers running in the background while the user's editing code. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't they just compile the code instead of merely building a database for IntelliSense queries?
Mm-hmm.
So you can reasonably ask the question. Mm-hmm. I think the reason is that, C++ isn't seen quite so much as a RAD language, rapid application development language, as maybe VB is.
Yeah.
That's definitely one reason. It is a much more difficult language.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. We have we have some really, really crazy template metaprogramming code that we generated internally, and we got through the Boost library and bugs that are sent in by customers.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that stuff would just make life really miserable for anyone trying to do this kind of background compilation.
Understood.
And also we have in a lot of ways bigger fish to fry too. Mm-hmm. This IntelliSense thing has been a major pain point for a lot of people for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's definitely a higher priority.
Absolutely.
Though I do understand that build mm-hmm. speed is a major issue for our customers too.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something we'd like to address at some point. Visual Studio 2008 does have the /MP compiler switch, which allows multi-prod compilation of C++ source code that can kind of address this.
Interesting.
Let's
talk a little bit about that. I know it's sort of outside your expertise, but you mentioned it.
Yeah.
So you can target your code to run on multiple processors.
Well, it's actually it's a build time parallelization.
Got it.
So if you're building 150 C++ source files,
uh-huh.
And you have a 4-core machine, you can use the compiler switch /MP4. And build with 4 compilers in parallel, essentially.
Nice.
And that's, it gets you a little bit of the way towards fully exploiting, your processing potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of build systems already do this. For instance, I know the build system that Windows uses internally will automatically parallelize projects.
Mm-hmm.
And the IDE will parallelize projects as well.
Mm-hmm.
But /MP gives you a little bit of a finer grain control for making sure your build speed up. And that's available in VS 2008.
Cool. Yeah, we didn't really hit that. We sort of let that one fall under the cracks. So, it is interesting because before you know it, we're going to have 12 cores, 16 cores, 80 cores. I mean, Intel's talking about a lot of cores in the not too distant future.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. And
so,
you certainly can't claim that with MP4 you'll get a 4 times build speed up. You'll probably only have your 1 hard drive and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it can make things faster. That's something folks could try out.
Excellent. So when we talk about, since we're talking about multi-core right now, which is a conversation we're going to continue to have over and over again over the next year on Channel 9. In many of the interviews that we do, it'll come up. But so will your let's say I'm writing code on a 8-core machine. Sometime in the future, one would hope that IntelliSense would be the rate at which IntelliSense happens would be related to the amount of processing power on the machine that I'm developing on.
Yeah.
Right. So that, but of course, that's a different problem than saying target these when you build. I mean, it's a front end problem, and so we have that whole concurrency issue that I know everybody's working on. So that could be interesting.
So you mean developing code on an 8-way box and mm-hmm. getting faster IntelliSense,
yes.
for instance, because of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of our precise plans there, but that's definitely something we'd like to do, to be able to, you know, for instance, if you edit a header file that's mm-hmm. used by 25 source files, you're going to want correct IntelliSense at all 25 of those files. And, you know, maybe if you do have 4 cores on your machine, mm-hmm. we can go and do some of that in parallel in the background rather than just on demand. It's a fine line to walk because, you know, you do too much of that and you run the risk of blocking the UI thread or something like that, just completely inadvertently. You run the risk of, monopolizing the disk or something, using too much RAM and affecting the user's editing experience, which is, you know, the primary thing that we want to have people able to do quickly.
Absolutely, because all the C++ developers I've ever known are blazing typers, man. You know what I mean? They all just type very fast. Maybe,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's... I mean, I can't imagine hunt and pecking C++ programs.
I can't imagine hunt and pecking any programs, but C++ would be particularly bad, I think.
So, Daniel, ask some questions, man.
Okay. So, I guess the one question, which I think would be real cool, is future stuff. Is that AST going to be exposed to developers? Like, where somebody else could party on it, play with, create their own refactorings, create their own language service, create their own, you know, code analysis tool?
Ooh, you struck right to the meat of the issue, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry about that.
So that's something we've kicked around. I think that's something we would very much like to do, to get that out there in some way, shape, or form. Because if we can enable third parties to do that kind of thing, well, you know, it only benefits us and our customers in the end. I'm not sure what form that would take. It probably wouldn't be in the next product in Visual Studio 10. But that is a direction we'd like to go. You can imagine third-party refactoring plugins, third-party analysis things. I guess that the Prefast, the slash analyze, probably already has some of that. And the back end, the Phoenix RDK, has some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think we would like to expose some of that from a front-end perspective because, you know, the compiler front-end is the only thing that knows about macros, for instance, or header files or things like that.
Okay. What about some of the other just, like, nicer features? You had talked about some refactorings. Are you guys looking at just making the sort of the code focus experience better, either with refactorings or where you can kind of understand where, say, you know that the result set is limited to something, go ahead and just do statement to completion on some set of known entities, for example, if that makes any sense. So where you can sort of do an identification and help the user along. So if you know values are only going to be 0 through 10, for example.
Oh, I see.
Giving them that format. So like in managed code, be like an enum or something where you automatically know it can only be these 10 results. But sort of like beyond either, well, one that's sort of an IntelliSense feature, but just making the code, writing code experience better, like anything you can talk about, or is that something you're looking at for VS10? Or
so we're still in the planning phases. We're trying to, you know, identify what we're going to do. So if anyone feels strongly about this, definitely let us know. Okay. But things that we're thinking about are some amount of C++ refactoring, for one. I think for C++ in general, that's a much more difficult problem than for the other languages Microsoft has, like C# and VB in particular. Because of the complexity posed by header files and macros. So that could be really difficult, but that's an angle that we'd like to go. we'd also like to do, sorry, I'm spacing, some sort of code snippet type thing.
Okay.
Like, you know, for instance, if you typed a while loop, maybe we'll fill in the angle brackets, or the brackets in the parentheses for you.
Sure, sure.
We have talked about doing some things like red squiggles, which C# and I believe VB also support, which has challenges in C++ as well. You need challenges. Another thing that was mentioned was maybe some sort of MRU history, like, you know, if you're typing parameters to a function call, maybe a way to easily look up the kind of things you passed to that function before. These are all, you know, just kind of very vague ideas we've been kicking around, but it's an example of the kind of things we'd like to do.
Sure.
Okay, good.
And I know you guys are very active on your blogs and taking feedback, and the C++ crowd is very vociferous and not shy to share what they want.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good.
Absolutely, and I think that's really good. You know, I just like to hear from people passionate about the language and about the product and, you know, telling us the direction we should go in.
Sure.
It makes things easier, and you like to know that you're building a product that people actually use.
And but that's, well, for sure. I mean, and I know there's a lot of people in building 26 who, and building 36 who use your product. These would be the Windows and Office team, respectively. Those are unmanaged products. So what kind of feedback interaction do you guys have with these big product teams at Microsoft that are C++ houses? And they must be giving you some good feedback.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We actually have a pretty tight relationship with Windows specifically, also with, you know, Office and at times the SQL team.
Yeah.
We have what's called the LKG process with the Windows team in particular, and LKG stands for Last Known Good, and it's basically a compiler release that we deliver to Windows periodically. It's generally pre-release compilers that they get. They tend to coincide with betas that are released to the public and things like that. But we have a pretty tight cycle with them. When Windows finds a compiler bug, we're generally on top of it, you know, pretty darn quickly. You know, the same. Honestly, it's the same as if you know, a major customer or a customer who's being blocked, you know, submit us a bug and you know, ask for a QFE or something. We're going to jump on it pretty quickly.
Totally.
One of the things that we're trying to do with the IntelliSense rewrite is get more developers within Microsoft using the Visual Studio IDE. I know a lot of folks do, but a lot of folks also don't. They use some competing projects or products. And so we're going to go through a pretty massive round of dogfooding to get this VS10 product out there and into their hands, get some feedback from them, and find out what works and what doesn't.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, because what you just said, it kind of strikes an interesting situation in the sense that IntelliSense, Visual Studio, kind of all of the bells and whistles and stuff in there, which are good bells and whistles, they really are targeted at RAD, right? It's RAD development IDE. You want to be able to rapidly develop stuff, right? That's one of the arguments of why you would use Visual Studio. Yet on the one hand, and of course there's other ones, but that's one good argument. But you had just mentioned earlier, and I agree with you, that C++ really isn't a RAD development tool. It's a really powerful, complex language that gives you a lot of flexibility to take advantage of hardware, whatever hardware you happen to be targeting. Whereas you're not going to get that with the higher abstract languages, because they're not designed for that. So, you know, which is interesting, because, I mean, how far are you going to make C++? Do you want to make C++ a RAD development language? Is that the goal for the C++ team?
Well, the goal is, the major goal is to make it a, it's not so much a RAD language, but support developer productivity, I guess. And that's on a couple different angles. There's developer productivity, you know, writing new code in C++, which does happen. You know, people write scores of lines of new code in C++ today. There's also a developer productivity in maintaining existing C++ code. And, you know, there's hundreds of millions of C++ code out there, hundreds of millions of lines, billions maybe even more. And so that's the primary goal, is to make sure that developers can be productive using our tools for their C++ applications. I wouldn't say that for the C++ customer, you know, getting a kind of getting a spec and hammering out an application ready to go in 3 days, that's probably not the typical customer that we're focusing on. It's going to be more the person who maybe has 100,000, 200,000 lines of code, and they're adding a new feature to it as well as fixing bugs in the old code.
Absolutely.
So
that makes sense. So they want to give them a very powerful tool to do that.
Yeah, and there's some things that do overlap with the RAD languages like VB. Mm-hmm. Just a couple weeks ago, I was playing around with the system speech namespace in the .NET framework. And, I can't imagine, writing code to target that without some form of IntelliSense, to allow me to explore what the classes are, what the functions are named, what their parameters are and everything, to supplement the documentation.
Absolutely.
And also there are things like, find all references, for instance. If you're interested in what's changing a certain symbol or what's referring to a certain symbol, you're going to want to use that. And those are all IntelliSense and browsing features, but they're not necessarily correlated with RAD.
So now, you brought up an excellent point, because I think, at least in my own simple mind, when I think of IntelliSense, usually what I think about is code completion, right? But that's only one little part of IntelliSense. I mean, let's talk a little bit about what exactly are the components of IntelliSense? So we have code completion.
Wow, there's a lot of them. So there's
going
to be a
this is important to get out there.
Yeah, there's
clear it up.
The four major IntelliSense functions are the autocomplete, remember list, which is I think what you're referring to, which is when you hit the dot or hit an arrow, type an arrow, you get a little drop down box with members of a class in it. There's parameter help when you start coding up a function call, you're going to get a little tooltip that lists the different function signatures that match that and what their parameters are, along with some documentation.
Mm-hmm.
There's quick info, which is a tooltip you get when you hover over an identifier. And then there's go to declaration, which is when you right-click and select it from the drop-down list. It takes you to where a symbol is declared.
Excellent.
And those are the IntelliSense features, but there's also kind of some browsing and navigation features that fulfill similar design time purposes in allowing you to understand the code and write code a little bit more quickly.
Outstanding.
And those would be things like go to definition, where is a symbol defined, which works across translation units. Could be using it in this file, but it's defined over here.
Mm-hmm.
There's things like find all references, which can give you a list of all the references to a symbol. That's really useful.
Mm-hmm.
There's class view. There's code model. There's probably a whole bunch of other things.
But those are the big ones.
Yeah. Those are the big ones, yeah.
Right on. And those are particularly challenging for
C++. Yeah, it's really horrible. There's actually, it's kind of funny. There's an anecdote around here. There's code floating around that we wrote back in VS 2003 to test out all the template work we were doing. And it essentially solves the Tower of Hanoi problem at compile time using template metaprogramming. And that can take upwards of a minute to actually compile. And, the kind of joke is, well, how can you expect fast IntelliSense if the compiler can't even compile it in a minute? We can't tell you what's in that class until the compiler finishes parsing it. And that could take, a lot of time sometimes.
Sure.
So, C++ does have unique challenges there.
Yeah.
But the best we can do is architect IntelliSense browsing navigation to respond to those and, maybe make it clear when you are running a file on one of C++'s limitations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, in Visual Studio 2008, can you turn IntelliSense off?
I believe you can with the work that Jim did. I'm not actually completely sure.
All right.
My team owns more of the engine aspects of things, and so sometimes I'm not entirely clear on what we've done through the UI, but yeah, I think you can turn it off. There's a whole bunch of information on the VC blog. I think the site is blogs.msdn.com/vcblog. There's a whole bunch of posts about that performance work in VS 2008 and how best to exploit that.
And we covered, in modest detail today, how your IntelliSense engine works, right, up at the board. If I can remember correctly, we touched on it. Right?
Yeah. That would actually be a really good topic for a future video to delve much more into.
Well, awesome. Agreed. I'm down. I'm down for that. I'd like to know exactly how it works because it's interesting. But since you're going to be re-architecting it, we can't talk about that yet. But I think we should, when we can, dive into what you guys are doing with the VS10 timeframe.
Yeah, that'd be great. We can get maybe one of the architects and one of the devs in here to talk exactly about how the tag parser is working and the information it's returning and everything.
Absolutely.
That'd be cool.
And this is great. Well, keep on doing great work, man.
All right, thanks.
That's my suggestion to you. And keep finding these bugs. And people, do you have a blog?
I've posted on the VC blog once or twice, primarily about my work on the C Standards Committee, but feel free to post any feedback on IntelliSense on the VC blog. Mm-hmm. I'd say one out of every two or three posts on there is about IntelliSense now.
That's amazing.
So it should be easy to find.
Very cool.
Awesome.
Great. And everybody will be seeing more of Dan.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, it's great to meet you. This is good stuff. Very interesting.
Thanks.
See ya.